This is the Word of God found in Romans chapter 3, the first three verses. Romans, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Appreciate the message. Jesus Christ is ruling in a spiritual kingdom right now. You can go boldly to the throne of His grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write this. And when you read chapters 1 and 2, you'll find that one of the messages that the Spirit is inspiring Paul to write to the churches and to us here in this day and age is that both Jews and Gentiles are sinners. And all of them, Jew and Gentile, need a Savior. And those that are blessed to have a Savior benefit from the good news, the gospel, of their salvation in Jesus Christ. And furthermore, he writes in chapter 2, is that there's such a thing as not only one who's ethnically or physically a Jew, but one who is inwardly or spiritually a Jew and has experienced a circumcision within the heart, not made with hands. That is, God has detached that part of the new creature so that it is not bound to and confined by and enslaved to the fallen man and the law of sin, which is in his flesh. And so both Jew and Gentile are under sin. Both Jew and Gentile need salvation. Both Jew and Gentile that have salvation benefit from the additional salvation of the good news that their salvation has been accomplished. And so they all have those similarities. In a lot of ways, they're in the same boat. And so that raises the question about the ethnic, the physical Jew. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? That is, what advantage is it to have been brought up as a member of the Jewish nation and actually have the physical circumcision God commanded to Abraham and continued through the law? What's the point? What's the benefit? What's the advantage? And Paul says in verse 2, much every way, there's a lot of advantages to being a Jew, particularly in the day that he wrote. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The oracles of God, you probably studied in days past about oracles, like the oracle at Delphos in Greece. That was, a cave where people would come and ask the people that served in the cave what they should do. And the word that came back to them from the people in the cave was supposed to be the pronouncements of the gods, and was supposed to give them guidance. Oracle means a word from God. Well, Paul's not talking about the oracle at Delphos. He's not talking about some people that work in a cave. When he says, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, he's talking about the scriptures. He's talking about the Bible, whereby God inspired men to write down words that were flawless and were in harmony with all of other God's words and were perfect for guiding His children. And so that was committed to the Jews. They had it from the time of at least Moses, 1500 or 1600 years before the day that Paul wrote. They alone in the human race, there were all kinds of religions. There was Zoroastrianism, where they worshipped Ahura Mazda. There was Hinduism. There was the Greek mythology, there was the Norse mythology, there was the gods of Egypt, there were the gods of Babylon, there were all kinds of religions throughout the world. But there was just one little group of human beings that had true religion about the real God for 15 or 16 centuries. And not only did they have the true religion, they had it in writing. It was the scriptures. It was the oracles of God. And that was a great benefit. You know, in the pagan world in that day, you could be enslaved by your own countrymen and remain a slave for life unless you could somehow or other buy your freedom. If you were an Israelite, however, and you got in debt, you could sell yourself into slavery in payment for the debt. But after 6 years of working, not only were you let go free, but the one who you were paying, your creditor, had to furnish you liberally out of his threshing floor and out of his vineyard, and had to help you get started back in life as a free man again. You know, what a great benefit there was to that. There were several things that underwrote a good deal of civil liberty, and some of our laws today are based on laws that were in these oracles of God. The Ten Commandments, those last six that deal with the way men should treat men, undergird a lot of our laws in this society and many other societies still today. So there was much advantage every way. Furthermore, not only was there more order and civil liberty, there was this knowledge that men were sinners, but the promise through the law and the Psalms and the Proverbs and the prophets were God sending a Savior, God sending a Messiah. So not only was there greater liberty, there was greater hope. There was just advantage much every way to growing up with Bible training. And Paul mentions that. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And that's what I want to speak on for the next several minutes, is this subject, the faith of God. Does God have faith? And I want to bring that up, and I'll just go ahead and tell you that from my understanding and my studies, the answer is a resounding yes, God has faith. Let me read some more scripture that pertains to this. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? But before I leave this text, that is, if some people didn't believe, is that going to stop God and his purpose of salvation? Is the unbelief of man going to thwart, going to stymie, going to stop the purpose of the grace of God? And the answer there is no. God does all his pleasure. But now let me take up this subject, the faith of God. First, a couple of other scriptures on this subject. Let me turn to Galatians chapter 2 and read, I think it's verse 20 there. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now, not only do we have the Bible expression, the faith of God, we've got the Bible talking about the faith of the Son of God. Let me go to Philippians chapter 3 and read verse 9. Philippians 3 and 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, these are not the only examples. I just wanted to read these three. Because in the Bible, you got the expression, the faith of God, the faith of the Son of God, and the faith of Christ. So this makes you wonder, wait a minute, well, does Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, have faith? Yes, he does. Does Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, have faith? Yes, he does. Does God, the three in one, have faith? Yes, he does. Well, this raises some questions. This raises some questions, but let me read one more scripture in support of this. Let me go back to Galatians chapter 5 and read about the fruit of the Spirit of God. And I quote at this a lot. But look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are things that the Spirit of God bears because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me draw your attention and ask you, are each of these elements of the fruit of the Spirit, are these attributes of God? Are these something that characterizes God's personality? Look at them one at a time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is love part of God? Is love something that God does? Why, God is love. What about joy? Is that an attribute of God? Remember what Nehemiah says? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. What about peace? Is God able to bring about peace? What is the title of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only is he wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, he is the what? The Prince of Peace. Peace is an attribute of God. Long-suffering. Read about God. How does he come to anger? With what kind of rate? He is slow to anger and full of mercy. That shows a God of control and temperance, self-control. He's slow to anger. Brothers and sisters, take that one personally. If you are quick to anger, you are ungodly. I just want you to get some practical benefit out of this. There's sometimes it's right to be angry. There's a righteous anger. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. There's times it's appropriate to get angry. But if you get angry fast, you are ungodly. If you feel anger coming up on you real quick, swallow it. Control it. Ask God about it. Take action appropriately. Do not respond quickly and harshly and openly in anger. It is ungodly because God is temperate. He is slow to anger and full of mercy. How about gentleness? Is God gentle? Well, go over to Psalm 18 where David writes about God and says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." God is gentle. He deals gently with his people. Goodness. Is God good? Yes. God is full of goodness, and you'll read that in the Psalms over and over again. There's even a little child's prayer that's very scriptural in that regard. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hand we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. But you find that the goodness of God is something that is spoken of often in the Scripture. All right, faith, that's the one we're talking about. But let me go on to verse 23. Meekness. Is meekness an attribute of God? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly of heart. and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So God is meek. I've already said long-suffering. God is long-suffering. Then temperate, that is in control of his anger. So God is long-suffering. He's temperate. He's loving, joyful, peaceful, gentle, good. Does he have faith? Is that part of his character? Yes. Do you know what a lot of translations, English translations, do with that? They're trying to kind of, I think maybe, I don't know what their effort is, but they translate this as faithful or faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Well, brothers and sisters, if someone is faithful, that means they're full of faith. So that doesn't alleviate this discussion. And furthermore, if you look up the Greek for this, and I have, you'll find that the Greek word pistis is the exact same word as I just read about in Romans chapter 3. It is the exact same Greek word when we read the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the exact same Greek word that you find in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, translating this incorrectly, in my opinion, as faithfulness does not resolve this discussion. The fruit of the Spirit, if you really want to do the best English translation from the Greek, is faith. And that's what we have here that we read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. No human being has faith unless they are born of the Spirit of God. It is the fruit of that. You don't have the fruit before the tree. You have the tree before the fruit. You don't have faith before being born of the Spirit. You have being born of the Spirit before you have the fruit of the Spirit, which includes faith. So it's important to understand that. I have heard people, good people, even say, well, that's right. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, and you have to have the Spirit before the fruit. So before someone is born again, faith is human volition. Volition means wishing. That is, faith is human wishing until you wish yourself to get born again, and then when you're born again, then you have this kind of faith. And brothers and sisters, that's just not scriptural. That's not scriptural. If it was just human volition, well, then you would have trouble with the scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul says, and pray for me also, that I may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. Well, I expect anybody that's able to put a thought together has some wishes. So if faith was just human wishing, I wouldn't go along with that statement. I would think, well, all humans must have faith. Paul says no. The Holy Spirit says no. All men have not faith. Who has faith? The ones that are born again of God's Spirit. Now, let me say something at this point. As you read through the Bible, you will find faith used differently in context. Let me talk about at least three ways that the word faith is used in the New Testament. One, there is the gift of faith, or the grace of faith, or the fruit of faith, as we just read. That is where the Spirit of God is within somebody and gives them the ability to believe in God, gives them the ability to have that confidence in God, gives them that. That's the grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Which is not of yourself, the grace or the faith? Yes. Both of them are not of yourself. The grace is of God, and the faith is of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the grace of faith, the gift of faith. Now, you'll find scriptures where you read about the exercise of faith. Remember when the centurion told the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come to my house. Speak the word only where you are, and my servant will be healed. For I'm also a man under authority, and I say to one, come, and he comes, and I say to another, go, and he goes. Just speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. And the Lord Jesus Christ marveled at him and said, verily, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. That was the exercise of that grace, the exercise of that gift. One time after his disciples came to him in the middle of a storm and they were out at sea, and they come to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord came up on deck and rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a great calm. And he looked at them and he said, how is it that you have no faith? Well, did that mean that they didn't possess the gift or the grace of faith? No, they did. They were following him. But they possessed no faith that was in evidence being exercised. They weren't using the faith that they had, because within them was the Son of God who had called them to follow him and spread his word. And they were asking, don't you care that we're about to die? So they had no faith in evidence in that situation. So you got the gift or grace of faith, and then you got the exercise of faith, and that's something I need to do more. And then you have the body of faith. That is the collection of scriptures and history that we have that guide us. The book of Jude, it says that we should contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. So the scripture and what we have in our heritage, that is the faith. That is the record of those who have walked by faith. And so you have that. But now let's talk about, what is faith? What is it? And I'm no expert. I need to walk more by faith to understand it better. But I want to talk about it scripturally. There's a definition of faith given in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, it doesn't say that faith is hope. It says it's the substance, it's the material, it's the assurance, it's what makes it solid of things hoped for. So what is it that is hoped for? In Romans chapter 8, it tells us what we hope for. It says here, it says starting with verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Okay, we're talking about hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hope for what? For being delivered from the bondage of corruption. Let's keep reading. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What is that hope? What are we hoping for? What are we hoping to come to pass? The resurrection. We're hoping to be glorified in the presence of God to live forever. That's what we're hoping for. And what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. Brothers and sisters, your faith is the substance of the resurrection in you. Because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. So it's your faith is the substance of something you hope for, the substance of the resurrection in you. It is the evidence of things not seen. What's not seen? Well, you don't see the the resurrection is still coming up. You don't see God. No man hath seen God at any time. And yet the scripture says he lives within you. And so the evidence of God living in you is faith. So it's the substance of the resurrection and the evidence of the presence of God in you. That's faith. Now somebody's going to say, but wait a minute now. How can God have faith? You know, if it says we walk by faith, not by sight, God sees everything. He knows everything. How can a God that sees and knows everything have faith when it contrasts faith and sight? Well, that's how we walk as human beings. Nowhere does the Bible say, even though I think it's the belief of or the understanding of the majority of the human race, especially Christians, is that faith is a blind belief. Faith is a blind trust. Faith is a belief in something you can't see. I don't agree with that definition. I just don't. Now, trust may be that way. You can put your trust in all kinds of things. You can put your trust in God. You can put your trust in wealth. You can put your trust in power. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But we will trust in the name of our God. You can put your trust in all manner of things. But when you use the word faith as it is used in the Bible, you never have faith in wealth. You never have faith in horses. You never have faith in chariots. You never have faith in strength. You never have faith in anything. Faith is always exclusively in the God of the Bible. If you read through how faith is used in the Bible, it is always in God. So it really makes no sense to say put your faith in God. If you've got faith, it is in God. As a matter of fact, the faith is the substance of the resurrection in you, and it is the evidence of God in you. That is the only place faith can be. So I hear a lot of expressions I don't think are strictly scriptural when you say put your faith in God, or I don't have enough faith to be in evidence, or I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution. I don't think that's a proper scriptural use. Well, what is a good working definition? The Bible definition is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me tell you where I am right now on just kind of a working definition of faith. I think faith is confidence in God. More than trust, it is confidence in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is, you don't please God unless you have confidence in God. That's your way to... Now, let me ask this question about does God have faith? Does God have confidence in God? He sure does. Does God the Father have confidence in God the Son? Yes. Does God the Son have confidence in God the Spirit? Yes. Does God the Spirit have confidence in God the Father? Yes, they have confidence. God has confidence in God. Now before I sit down, let me prove that at least between the Father and the Son. Let me go back to prophecy in Isaiah. And let's see the confidence of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in God the Father. Isaiah chapter 50. Listen to these words in prophecy from the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting with Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7 through, starting with verse 6 and read through verse 7. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 6 and 7. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Did that sound like God the Son was confident in God the Father? For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. As the darkness fell and He was made to be sin for us, He was paying for those sins. He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Was that a lack of confidence? No. Was He saying something there that was not true? That God really hadn't forsaken Him? No. He was saying the truth. God forsook Him. There the Son of Man hung alone in the darkness. Why? Because He was made to be sin. And God would have nothing to do with sin except punish it. And so He was punishing Jesus Christ in the darkness for your sins and my sins, that they might be put away, washed away, and separated from those who had committed them. He did that, and He did forsake Him, but when it was all paid for and He said, it is finished, then once again, there it was. God was not only so just that the sins were paid for, God the Father was just enough to recognize that the sins paid for were done away with. Now that's a problem with a lot of modern Christianity now. A lot of people believe that sins were paid for, that God will still visit on other people if they don't do X, Y, or Z. That's not the case. That's not faith. That's not the truth. If God was so just and righteous that He caused all the sins of all His people to be paid for when Christ was on the cross, then God is so just and so righteous that He will recognize that those sins are paid for, no matter what they were, including the sin of unbelief. Now that expresses prophetically God the Son's faith in God the Father. Listen to an expression of God the Father's faith or confidence in God the Son. Isaiah, again, chapter 42, verses 1, 2, and 3. Listen to this confidence. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Listen to verse 4. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Hear the confidence of God the Father to God the Son? Does God have confidence in God? Yes, assuredly. Does God have faith? Yes, He does. Well, what about where it says in the New Testament, our faith in God? Listen, brothers and sisters, when a person is born again, what happens is the Spirit of God comes within them. Because ye are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. When you are born again in that irresistible, always successful manner, that immediate Holy Spirit regeneration, then the faith of God becomes your faith in God. Does that make sense? The reason you have faith in God is because God dwells in you and He has the faith of God. God has confidence in God. And once you are born again, there's something inside of you that has confidence in God. And that's how we are to walk. Because our confidence in God is a better guide than our sight. We see things, we perceive things, some are right, some are wrong, some we understand, some we don't. Some is pretty complete, some's incomplete. But I'll tell you what, when you get the Word of God and you've got confidence in God, that's the way to go. Makes me think of the hymn, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Let's walk by faith. Let's walk by our faith in God. Let's thank Him for the faith of God that we're blessed to benefit from through Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Lord, we're such sinners. We so need your mercy. We thank you for your mercy, your long-suffering, Lord, your grace upon us. We thank you, dear God, for being so gentle with us. Lord, for lifting us up in times of sadness. Help us to walk by faith rather than sight, Lord, knowing that when we walk by faith, that you guide us with your eye, and that your vision of everything is perfect, Lord. So when you instruct us, this is the way, walk ye in it, we can do so confidently. Lord, forgive us the times we haven't done that. Help us to walk that way more in the future. Please revive us, dear God. Send laborers into your harvest. Open doors for the spread of the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that we would render up thanks and praise to you for the remainder of our days, and then come home, Lord, so that the hope that we have is realized in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.